listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Out of Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live, coast to coast. 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Las Vegas. Action-packed Friday for you. Bottom of the hour. Colin Cowherd versus RJ Bell, not once, but twice. Big time disagreements. In studio, joined by the pros who know, Steve Fezzik. He's going to help us with all of the NFL transactions, rumors, etc. Also, all the college knowledge, Brad Powers. And we're going to be talking about college basketball corruption. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have pros without Joes. He is Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here on a very busy Friday here on Straight Out of Vegas, RJ. And we're going to start in college hoops, where LSU head coach Will Wade has been suspended indefinitely following reports that FBI wiretaps intercepted telephone calls between Wade and a business manager, Christian Dawkins, in which Wade expressed frustration about his inability to close what he is calling a strong-ass offer, end quote. So, RJ, with the latest news out of Baton Rouge, what does Vegas make of the stuff out of LSU?
Coffee's for closers only.
All right, so you got to close. Don't forget about that, Brad. We're going to break this down by the numbers. That's what Vegas does best. So, Brad, let's talk about before the news broke for this team. Associated Press had them.
LSU, number 10 in the country.
Number 10 in the country. Now, Brad Powers, with the Vegas ranking, said
LSU, number 16.
Number 16. So you thought they were overrated, LSU.
I did.
Generally, why?
Won a bunch of close games. LSU has won 5 overtime games this year, more than any other team in college basketball. Coin flip games could have went either way. Came up heads for LSU time and time and time again.
And that's the thing, is we can say there's the clutch gene, the winning gene, and maybe there is, but there certainly is an element of luck to close games. Oftentimes in the NFL, any sport really, is if someone does this, a team, disproportionately well in close games or poorly in close games, they tend to be overrated. If they do well, underrated. If they do poorly. Now, Will Wade not coaching at present, suspended. What kind of effect on a per game basis, the number of points per game?
2 points is my estimation. One, we'll call it the X's and O's that Will Wade's able to dial up. And I think a point at least early on in the process for the distraction surrounding the program at this point.
All right, so a point for the absence of this coaching talent, a point for the distraction. Fez, my thought is the distraction, it fades over the next week or two. Now, we could look back to Arizona as an analogy last year. Brad, draw that analogy first.
Okay, Sean Miller, the Arizona head coach, was, and this is the same case, was heard and, you know, with these FBI wires.
Allegedly,
and he vehemently denied it. Will Wade hasn't, so that's a major difference between the two. And we saw Arizona, it impacted them at least in the NCAA tournament. They got bounced in the first round.
Yo, homeboy, welcome to the hood, brother.
This is not for the faint of heart. Which I think brings up a really good point. If there wasn't so much money to split up, there wouldn't be so much corruption. Imagine if you took that big old pie, like American pie. You know, it's not apple pie, it's American, it's dollar, all kind of dollars, I guess, in there. Gold bullion in there. And it's a situation where there's all this money to be made. If you're a Will Wade, you succeed, you're making how many millions of dollars? You don't succeed, you're making a gym teacher salary. Literally, I mean, how much? Let's be candid. I've met a lot of Division I coaches. I mean, probably over 100 in my life, just because my very best friend has been in the NCAA either as a associate AD or as a football operations guy for almost 30 years, I guess now. Well, I guess 25. I've met 100 plus coaches. They ain't all that smart. Now, there's exceptions for sure. But if you put 10 gym teachers in a room and 10 Division I head coaches in a room randomly, one group's going to be dressed better. One group's going to spend a lot more at the strip club. But boy, the difference ain't all that much. And I'm using ain't for effect there. So Will Wade, the stakes are pretty high. Now we can debate, oh, should the government be using resources on such things? Well, I don't know. If there's billions of dollars at stake and there's children, it feels like billions and children tend to make sense or some resources.
Yep.
I'm not saying in every case it's right, but to just kind of say, hey, go catch the drug dealers, I think is a little too simple. RJ Bell straight out of Vegas breaking down Will Wade and the aftermath. Brad Power says 2 points, 2 point downgrade. Your numbers and the Vegas market seem to agree. LSU tomorrow hosts Vanderbilt. Line opened up actually by projection. So looking at your power ratings, which are excellent, Brad, LSU favored by 17.
Yep.
Opened up a couple hours ago, 15.5, got bet to 15. You said a 2 point difference. Lo and behold, we're sitting at a 2 point difference. Doesn't mean we're not going to see a bunch of Vanderbilt money. This line could drop. But as of right now, the marketplace and Brad Powers agrees 2 point downgrade for LSU. Fez, as we move towards the tournament, Arizona, it stayed in the news last year. There was more sense they were fighting it. Here it feels like kind of a no moss situation, at least initially. I think with the news cycles being so quick, my feeling is this doesn't hurt this team as much come tournament time. Thought.
I agree. I think it's going to hurt LSU a whole lot here in the next week, but they're not going to have the situation likely that Arizona had with the lingering uncertainty of the coach. And if that's the case, I would say, let me stay away completely from LSU until the tournament. And then there might be an overreaction if they play poorly this next 10 days.
So you're thinking if the effect is heavy in the near term, people say, see, problem, I'm not betting that team. And that's buying that stock low in theory.
Exactly.
So Steve Fezzik is saying, stay away from LSU now. Keep an eye on them, maybe play them in the, you know, come tournament time. And oh, by the way, if you had to guess right now, Brad, LSU gets what seed?
3 or 4 seed.
3 or 4 seed. Finally, Tony Benford, potential gym teacher. He is the fellow taking over. He's only coached at North Texas. Thanks for Gavin, producer, for this information. 33 games below 500, 62 wins, 95 losses, gym teacher style.
Guys, we switch over to the NFL where we are on Antonio Brown watch yet again. We thought we had a trade finalized last night. Brown on his way to the Buffalo Bills. That was nixed after reports came out. Even Brown called it fake news. So here we are. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette is reporting moments ago that a trade is near. No team included in the report, but it looks like Antonio Brown is off out of Pittsburgh sometime in the near future.
So some unknown team,
yes,
at some unknown time,
yes,
will be taking Antonio Brown.
Believe it or not.
Breaking news.
I mean, I can't believe we didn't lead the show with that. I mean, come on. Hold on. But I think it kind of shows that Jonas being, I mean, literally a newsman, a kind of guy that delivers news, this isn't news. This is a prima donna, in my opinion, Antonio Brown looking for attention. And I think the backlash has happened. From what I saw on Twitter last night, and my sense was, and I'm not sure who all was on Twitter, Fez, I know you go to bed early oftentimes, but what percentage of the time are you up at 10:30 p.m.?
95%.
95. How about midnight?
60%.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
So at 12:05, you're up more than half the time.
Yes.
I'm very skeptical of that.
You got to bet those Hawaii
Text
games.
That webcam, I disconnected that webcam a while back. I'm just leaving it totally disconnected. But what I'll say is that from what I saw on Twitter, there was a sense of, to use the German phrase, Schadenfreude. There was a sense of joy that Brown was going to feel pain. And that it was like, well, you think Pittsburgh's cold? Buffalo. You think Big Ben sometimes is a little less than accurate? Well, Josh Allen. I mean, I would say, and let me ask you, Jonas, I would say 75% of the reaction was almost scoffing, almost like on The Simpsons, a ha-ha kind of reaction.
Oh, more than that. I would put it at 85 or 90. I didn't see a lot of compliments. I didn't see a lot of positive feedback over the potential Antonio Brown-Josh Allen connection.
So, but is it so much that he wasn't going to be great in Buffalo? Or was it like, hey, prima donna, you wanted all this attention. You aren't appreciating what you have. Now, here comes the pain.
Yeah, it was. I think it's a split. It's laughing at Buffalo because Buffalo is notoriously bad and they haven't had a legitimate quarterback in a long time. And also, yeah, prima donna, you don't realize how good you have it. Go to what they're calling quote-unquote Siberia of the AFC.
Fez.
Yeah, I don't think it's just that Buffalo has historically been bad. I think you look at cities that guys don't want to go to, and let's face it, Cleveland, Detroit, Buffalo were the big three in the NFL. Now, maybe things are changing in Cleveland these days.
What?
No one wants to live in Buffalo, RJ.
But what's it got to do with Cleveland?
No one wanted to live in Cleveland either.
But what does that have to do with Buffalo?
Well, I'm just saying the cities that if you're a free agent, they, so you, were just you don't want to be well,
hold on,
to.
Let's get this straight. You were just randomly naming cities that people historically haven't wanted to go to, and now you're saying Buffalo's still on that list, but then randomly saying Cleveland isn't on the list.
I've always said that those three cities couldn't win in the NFL because they couldn't attract free agents, but now I'm starting to think I might be wrong about Cleveland with the whole Mayfield thing.
But it has nothing to do with Antonio Brown.
I think it has everything to do with the fact that Antonio Brown would not typically want to go to those three cities, along with a whole lot of other players in the NFL.
Jonas, I mean, the funny thing is you think he'd stop. Like, at a certain point, you think, I mean, he brought up Cleveland for literally no reason.
I mean, it's bulk Fridays. You figured, why take out one city in the NFL when you can take out three? And that's the way I mean, took.
Like, literally, what he could have said was literally the same thing is, you know, for a long time, people didn't like Arby's roast beef or Buffalo. But lately, Arby's has that new hot mustard. And because of that, I'm actually into that Arby's roast beef. So I think they're off the list, but Buffalo's still on the list. Brad, would it have been any different?
Not much.
Not much. When we come back, Fezzik's mic is off for the first 2 minutes and more NFL transactions.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of minutes, we've got moving and shaking in the NFL involving a Super Bowl champion.
Each weekday, we have fun bringing the fun of Vegas straight to you. Right now on the Strip, 60 degrees and the neon is pumping. By the way, we told you beforehand, Steve Fezzik, 2 minutes his mic is turned off for crazy talk. We could explain what he said in the first segment, but if you heard it, you know it's just crazy talk. 2 minutes and counting.
While we wait to hear from the late, great Steve Fezzik here on the show, we do, RJ, you had a final thought on the Antonio Brown situation. As we were talking last segment, it is still up in the air. A report has come out this time, a second day in a row from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, that a trade is imminent. We don't know for who, we don't know to where, but that's a report out of Pittsburgh.
So Fezzik, try to talk as loud as you can real quick.
Hello?
See?
Hello?
Your voice is gone. There's still over a minute left. Here's what I think about Brown. I think we're seeing that the Twitterati, maybe, you know, the blue check marks, as they like to call them, they're sick of the BS. I think the teams are sick of the BS. The fact that this is, you could make the case, one of the five best receivers in history. I mean, would anyone other than Fezzik, and Fezzik you can try, no one would hear, would anyone dispute that adamantly?
No.
And we looked, and when we did a pregame.com, the research, the type of receiver that Brown is, he's got, at least if history's any indication, 3 or 4 good years left. And the idea we're hearing things down, few options left. You know, I think we're seeing running backs are replaceable, and even elite wide receivers, the prima donna stuff, the league's just tired of it. And to me, that's a really good thing.
When's the last time that you can think of a team who had one of the best quarterbacks in the league, arguably the best wide receiver, and arguably the best running back on the same team? And the team I came up with was Dallas, with Aikman, Emmitt Smith, and Michael Irvin. And they had 3 Super Bowls. What the hell happened in Pittsburgh?
I think you say first name Mike, last name Tomlin. I mean, I do believe that. And I also believe, and we were talking about this on our podcast, and by the way, you can get the Straight Out of Vegas podcast easy. Just go search favorite pod player, RJ Bell. You'll see it. And the Dream Preview is the other deep dive podcast we do. We were talking about it yesterday, Jonas. People were talking about, maybe Bell goes to, where was it? It was the 49ers. Bell goes to the 49ers, and maybe Brown goes to the 49ers.
Right.
What a team that would be. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Big Ben the last couple years, better than Jimmy G, you would expect, and the O-line for the Steelers better than you would expect San Fran's to be. And oh, by the way, the defense better. But somehow the Steelers haven't felt like a real Super Bowl contender. Even when they made the conference finals a few years ago, they didn't feel like a real Super Bowl contender.
Now, speaking of Super Bowls.
Oh, wait a minute.
Are we good?
All right. Say hi, Fez.
Hello, Big Ben, my number 4 rated quarterback in the NFL right now. Jimmy G, only number 11.
All right.
He's coming in. At least it's not crazy talk.
Oh, wow. Well done. All right, so Michael Bennett is a Super Bowl champion with the Seattle Seahawks. He played in Philadelphia a year ago, and it looks like he will now be playing for the New England Patriots, a trade that went down earlier today, to which the Eagles are going to receive a 2020 fifth rounder from the Patriots in exchange for Michael Bennett and a 2020 seventh rounder.
Yeah, so Eagles picking up 2 rounds and Patriots taking on the money. $6.2 million for Bennett next year. Talk that he wants a new contract. I think this is where a team's, you know, there's a term in business, moral hazard. Now, you hear it misused often, but this is what it means. It means if someone does something wrong and they're saved from doing something wrong, then that creates a moral hazard that, hey, there is no real deterrence. Because if I jump in the pool And I haven't waited 20 minutes. How long was it, Brad, you were supposed to wait after you ate before you swam?
An hour, I thought.
Was it an hour?
Yeah.
Imagine like at 52 minutes, you jump in and all of a sudden you're sinking to the bottom like a stone, but someone swoops in and saves you. You're going to think, I can jump in whenever I want, right?
Yep.
Moral hazard. Well, what we're seeing with the Patriots is the opposite. You F around with the Pats, you're heading out the door. Or you're sitting on the bench. You're going to Siberia. And we're not talking the Cleveland Browns. So, to me, this is where the Patriots and Belichick's no-nonsense approach really pays dividends. Because a guy like Bennett, you trade him to a lot of teams, he's potentially sitting out. He's potentially, who knows what he's doing, really. But, Brad, if you had to guess, what's he going to do with the Patriots?
He's going to produce.
I mean, he
better produce at least.
I mean, he's going to say, hey, this is a one-year audition. I do well. And, I mean, who knows where it goes? And to me, it shows why Belichick is...
No talent. I'm not talking about talent. I said genius. Genius.
Belichick's a genius.
Guys, speaking of a team who's not confused with genius, it is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And a busy day in Jacksonville. They release five players on Friday, most notably defensive tackle Malik Jackson and running back Carlos Hyde. So, RJ, what does Vegas make of the moves in Jacksonville?
Boy, this feels like, you know, in, I guess to stay kind of academic here, they talk about fighting the last war. So what tends to happen is, okay, Vietnam happens, it's over, we spend hundreds of millions of dollars with think tanks in the United States saying, what should we have done here? What should we have done there? But in the interim, war changes, and now next time we're fighting the last war, even though things fundamentally change or have changed. It feels like that's what Jacksonville is doing. If Jacksonville, and let me pose this question, and Fez, I'll let you have first crack. If Jacksonville, not last year, but the year before, had quarterback play in the range of commensurate with the way Nick Foles played 2 years ago, who wins the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Jacksonville. They almost made the Super Bowl with Bortles.
Bortles not playing well at all.
Exactly.
I agree. So now it's like, uh-oh. If we can just get a quarterback, we're fine, right? So they're trying to figure out what was absent before. But now they're giving up multiple players. Now, does that take the defense from the third best to the seventh or some variation? Perhaps. Pregame.com research, we did a deep dive. Mackey led the way with this one. Pro Football Reference ranks players, and it's 1 to 9 or whatever. So there's 342 players that are 7 or above. And Malik Jackson and Gibson are two of the players in that rank them a 7, however you want to say that range. So if you think about 32 teams divided by 342, it means that this is about the 12th and 13th best player on a typical roster. So now the question becomes, assuming the other three players are worthless, which I don't think they're worthless, but let's say the other three players in aggregate Jacksonville gave up have a minimal worth. Now you're looking at two players that are about the 12th or 13th on a typical roster. You're losing them in exchange for whatever you consider the upgrade to be from Bortles to Foles. Now, to me, that feels like about a wash. Now, you might hate Bortles, you might love Foles, there's different debates, but it looks to me that Jacksonville is saying we are weakening ourselves on one side of the ball or in one way, we're improving ourselves at quarterback, let's hope it all works out. For me, it feels like a net-net wash, Fez.
I actually think it's a big upgrade, RJ, and here's why. Because you're right in terms of you're losing some key players, some important players on the defense, but that defense had lost such heart because of the terrible quarterback play by Bortles.
Okay, but if you're saying that this would be an upgrade from last year's Jacksonville team, which was one of the worst in the NFL, to this year, I agree. But that isn't the question. The question is, the Jacksonville team that entered last year is what, one of the five or six favorites to win the Super Bowl?
Yes.
And the team that just the year before was leading in the second half of the AFC Championship. If that's who we're comparing to, I don't think that they've gained anything there.
Fair enough.
So right now, just off the top of your head, where do you have Jacksonville 1 to 32?
I would have Jacksonville number 13.
Yeah, so literally almost just slightly better than an average team.
Yes.
When we come back, Colin Cowherd, I disagree with him not once, but twice.
That's coming up next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, it's Dan Byer.
Still waiting on word from the Pittsburgh Steelers or Antonio Brown or someone else on if the star wide receiver will be dealt from the Steel City. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette did report that a deal could be coming very soon. Of course, a deal was thought to be reached last night, according to the NFL Network, with the Buffalo Bills, but that trade did not go through. So Antonio Brown, right now, remains a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. CBS Sports saying that a deal could get done within the next 24 hours. There were deals done today in the National Football League. Safety Eric Weddle gets a two-year deal to join the Los Angeles Rams, while the Eagles and Patriots have swung a swap. Michael Bennett on his way from Philadelphia as the defensive end will now join New England. Giants and Browns swung a deal, sending linebacker Olivier Vernon to Cleveland for guard Kevin Seitler. In the NBA, Lakers head coach Luke Walton confirmed LeBron James will play reduced minutes the rest of the season, and Walton also said that point guard Lonzo Ball has a possibility of not returning at all this season because of his ankle injury. LSU men's basketball coach Will Wade suspended indefinitely following a Yahoo Sports report saying that he was caught on an FBI wiretap discussing possible payments for a recruit. Duke forward Zion Williamson doubtful for tomorrow's game at North Carolina. That wraps up the regular season. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Dan. Straight out of Vegas here, Fox Sports Radio. Coming up in about 15 minutes from now here on FSR, we'll take a look ahead at a busy weekend in the world of sports. I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, Jonas, I mean, it's a well-known secret within the radio industry. You and Colin have a war, might be the right word.
Yeah.
I personally am a huge fan of Colin, and it's mutual.
This is where I go. I go to Vegas via the Coward Global Satellite Network, RJ Bell, pregame.com.
But sometimes it's just all about the truth to me. I disagree two times with Colin from today's show.
Yeah, that's right. And heard on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates, Colin Cowherd was talking about LeBron James and his struggles in the first year in L.A., and Colin had some thoughts on LeBron in Los Angeles.
LeBron didn't get dumb. LeBron didn't get lazy. LeBron didn't become a bad teammate. Those go against everything I believe to be true. But he did get sucked in. He's got his house right in the middle of agents, an 8-9 minute drive to meeting the biggest stars around the corner from the guy that runs my former company. I know exactly where he lives. It's just too easy to get sucked in and gassed up and distracted.
I mean, here's the crazy part to me. This is a kid, and I'm saying LeBron, a kid when he was a kid, that was on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You lived in the area. Your farm was nearby, Brad.
Yeah.
I mean, what was he, 15 when he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated?
I think like 16, the chosen one.
The chosen one. His nickname before he could drive was King James. Now, one of the basic premises of fame is that rich people want to be famous, and famous people want to be rich. And sometimes, oftentimes, they go together. But think of someone like Snooki. Now, I'm guessing, Brad, and we have never discussed this, I'm guessing you were a huge fan of Jersey Shore.
I was. I liked the Jersey
Shore. I still watch, Brad.
Yeah.
He loved it. He was thinking, one day I could be like that.
Great, you know? Show, man.
I mean, laundry, workout, you know, you had it all, all the acronyms.
Gym tan laundry.
See, exactly. So, I mean, you're 0 for 3 at this point now, but...
Yep.
But the fact of the matter is that LeBron has been the kind of guy that when he's walked in a room for the last 20 plus years, who's in that room that he's not the guy that's getting looked at the most or the gal? Maybe there's 7 or 8 people at any given time, like the Pope, you know, maybe Muhammad Ali before he passed away. I mean, literally, it was, you know, the President of the United States. LeBron has had both wealth and fame. Now, these billionaires, when Colin says a guy that used to run the company I used to be at or whatever, the fact he's not saying his name, there's a reason. No one knows his name. And that's the thing. These guys oftentimes have hundreds of millions of dollars and no one knows who they are and they want to feel their wealth. That's why, you know, and again, we could look at all kinds of examples, but you look at the way that that Sterling fellow, the Clippers old owner, got took. I mean, he got took like it was like some guy won the $50,000 on a scratch-off ticket downtown, and it was like the buzzards came around saying, well, this nerd never gets any attention. Some Instagram model comes up and whispers in his ear, and all of a sudden he's changing his will or whatever happened, right? I'm not exactly sure in that case, but it goes to show you a guy that we even knew the name of that was a billionaire, just, you know, was dying for attention. This is a situation where money and fame are oftentimes separated. Snooki wasn't all that rich, and Snooki still isn't all that rich. And the situation, his situation's in jail right now because yep. He didn't pay his taxes. So to me, to say that wherever LeBron was on that spectrum of is it going to go to his head, all the fame, all the opportunity, I get moving from Bristol to Hollywood, maybe that's going to get to your head. But when you've had 20 years of being one of the most famous people in the world, how in the heck are these guys in Hollywood going to, it's you, it's when LeBron walks in the room is the big deal, not vice versa. So yeah, I'm not saying LeBron wasn't distracted. I'm saying it wasn't because, oh my gosh, he finally got to Hollywood and saw what real distraction was. If LeBron was distracted, it's because he was in a mode to be distracted, not because somehow what he was being offered was so much more appealing than what was being offered to him last year.
Now, that's not the only thing that Colin Cowherd had to say that you disagreed on, RJ. As Steve Fezzik alluded to earlier on, when ripping the cities of Cleveland and Buffalo and Green Bay and all the fine people of those places, Colin Cowherd spoke about the differences and the difference being quarterback.
There is a I refuse to play blank. Yesterday it was Buffalo. That's why Baker Mayfield is so important. Baker Mayfield has a chance. And you know, I wouldn't have drafted him. He didn't work for my DNA. He could very well become Aaron Rodgers, not in terms of talent, in terms of value. Baker Mayfield has to work. The difference between Cleveland and Green Bay is Green Bay has nailed 3 times the quarterback position.
I agree. The more viable a team is to win, the more attractive it's that team will be for a free agency destination. But I think beyond that, it's the type of quarterback that will draw a certain type of player. Whereas Baker Mayfield strikes me as a prototypical millennial, a prototypical, hey, put those bright lights on me, baby. And sometimes being able and anxious for those bright lights and able to deal with them is a wonderful quality that you need to be a leader. But sometimes, and let's use Antonio Brown as an example, would a Baker Mayfield necessarily attract another prima donna? Would he attract Le'Veon Bell? Or are they going to be thinking, wait a minute, Baker's going to be getting all the love. Where's our love? So I agree, the better the team is, the more attractive the destination is. But Baker is the type of charismatic give me the attention quarterback that I think could keep away a lot of other players who want the attention for themselves. When we come back, there's two NBA games and two gigantic college basketball games this weekend. We'll break them down.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox, and this is the pregame show you always wanted, and it's money-making time next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up and tipping off in a little over an hour from now, a doubleheader on ESPN in the NBA. It's the 76ers at the Rockets. Houston on pregame.com is an 8-point favorite.
Fez, NBA originator, go.
Eileen, Houston minus the 8th. Houston is undervalued, RJ. They have the 8th best record in the NBA, but they're my 3rd best team. What happened to Houston early in the year? Chris Paul was out for a month. Then Capella was out for a month. But when all these guys are back and the big three are healthy, Houston's been quite good. They're on a 6-game winning streak, and against the spread, they have a winning against the spread record when all three of these guys are playing.
All right, so lean means you're not betting it. There's leans and likes. Why not a like?
Philly was just a favorite against Chicago, and Philly got upset straight up. I think Philly might be bringing it because of that upset loss.
After they go final in Houston on ESPN, it'll be the Nuggets at the Warriors, a 10:30 Eastern time tip, and it's Golden State, a 6.5-point favorite right now.
And I lean to Golden State minus the 6.5. It's all about a prime motivational spot, finally, for Golden State. They're the number one record team in the West. They're playing the number two record team in the West. They want to go ahead and get a big lead for home court advantage in the playoffs. And Golden State...
Well, doesn't that cut both ways?
It does. Denver's certainly going to be up. But remember, Denver's up for a lot of games at the
book. So you're saying that the range of effort of Golden State is much wider than for Denver?
Yes. Golden State clearly is taking some nights and coasting. And Golden State just got embarrassed at home. They got crushed by Boston in their last game. They're going to bring it in this game.
So once again, why not take off the rubber band?
Because Golden State's just been so bad against the spread. They're 10 games below 500. They're such a public team. It's hard to find value with this team, even in a really good spot.
And it brings up a point, guys, is every last segment right before 7 o'clock, we will go over the big, big TV games. But most of these games are not the games the pros are betting. You want to bet pizza money on it? We're going to tell you the best side to be on. You want us to act like these are all great bets? Well, we're not going to lie to you.
A college basketball doubleheader on ESPN tomorrow, tipping off at 6 Eastern time. It's Duke at North Carolina, and the Tar Heels on pregame.com are a 3-point favorite.
So first question, Brad, you and I have a bet. Will Zion play? Again, you gave me 4-1 odds. I said no. What is your current number?
50-50 Zion plays.
You think at any point the rest of the season?
Yeah, any point.
I want to give you a little credit.
It takes guts climbing back in that ring knowing you're going to take a beating.
I mean, when you keep betting me,
yeah,
and you don't just say enough's enough, kudos.
No moss for you.
Give us the handicap.
I like North Carolina here.
So you're betting them?
Yeah, I am betting the Tar Heels minus the 3 here. I think there's a big misperception about that first game where North Carolina won by 16 in Cameron Indoor. The reality is North Carolina did not play a really good game at all in that one. In fact, North Carolina had their worst 3-point shooting effort of the entire season, yet on the road in Duke, won by 16. I think they rubber stamp and kind of kick Duke while they can remain down here without Zion. Give me North Carolina minus the 3.
All right, so this is a like.
It is.
This is a bet. And oh, by the way, NC wins here. They're in a pretty good spot for the number one seed.
Yep, they'll have a season sweep of Duke.
And Duke, by the same token, even if Zion doesn't play, in fact, wait a minute, we're getting a report right now of Zion's current location. Oh, he's flying to some undisclosed location. But even without Zion, if Duke wins this game, what do they have to do to get a number one seed?
Just win a game in the ACC tournament. This would pretty much lock
so
up.
So this is
one.
Like this game, North Carolina-Duke, is for number one seed pretty much.
Yep.
And you like North Carolina.
I do like North Carolina.
Guys, after they go final Chapel Hill, it's Michigan at Michigan State. Right now, the Spartans are a four-point favorite.
And I lean with Michigan here, plus the four. And I think there's a little bit of a misleading final from the previous meeting between Michigan and Michigan State. Middle of the second half, Michigan's up. They're winning. They're covering the game. And then what happens? Michigan has a 10-minute scoring drought in that game where they didn't make a single field goal. To me, there's kind of a randomness when it comes to making shots sometimes. Obviously, Michigan State's got a good defense. But because of that drought that made that final misleading, I think there's some value on Michigan. It's not a like, though, because I got to be honest, RJ. I just don't like betting against Tom Izzo. Believe it or not, in his, what, his 20th season at Michigan State, playing all that premium, Michigan State this year is like 21-9 against the number. Every single year, that they're basically a winning team against the spread.
And people might say, wait a minute, that sounds kind of simple-minded. It's like you're just not going to bet against the given team. Same thing with the Patriots in the NFL. Is if you go back to 2003, Patriots have covered about 60% of the time. Now, I know it's one of those, yeah, but... You know, it's like, it's, you know, I had a friend that used to love, heavy set fellow, used to love this Chinese buffet. And it was horrible, this buffet. But he would say, you know, Tuesday they have crab ragoon. Or like on Friday, I think they actually get the fresh shrimp and put it on. There's all this rationale, but in the end, it stunk, right? So to some degree, there are some coaches good enough that you just don't bet against them, because if you have to lay 110, it's not going to be worth it.
The Odd Couple is next. We are straight out of Vegas, back on Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.